Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
He's hotter than fish grease.
This team in green and white hangs around.
Oh, so much Steph Curry.
Wild comeback here for the Celtics.
Horford for the lead. Boston up by three.
Thing about the Celtics, there's not one guy you can point to that had a hand in winning this ballgame.
The Celtics take game one of the 2022 NBA Finals.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Jay, Key, good morning.
Morning to you.
What Jay looks night. Well slept, Key.
that night turned into morning real quick last night off that game, though. What
well
a game,
rested
man.
And well hurting from 2 days ago.
What a game.
Yeah.
What a turn of events.
Had a feeling like Warriors got this. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, they're up a little bit most of the game, and then it expanded going into the fourth quarter. They'd be fine, right? We will get to, I have certain things to say that I know. I can't bring it up yet because I can't go round and round with you guys yet. But someone's got to tell the truth in the media business.
Oh, my goodness.
May not be the truth you want to hear, but
it's your truth, so that's all that matters.
By the way, at 6:30 and 7:30 on ESPN2, you're going to be able to watch everything from the 2-on-2 game yesterday with Bart and Hahn.
The truth.
Including my free throw, where you see I get my confidence to talk about guys like Steph Curry with the kind of reckless abandon that I do. You'll be able to hear the game right here on ESPN Radio. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Jay, there were, like, going into this series, like, who's the most important player in the series? And you're like, you said Marcus Smart even more than, like, Steph or Tatum? And there were 15 candidates that could have been in the top
five, right.
It seemed to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here is Al Horford, who is certainly, in retrospect, a candidate, right, from last night. At the post-game presser, listen to this.
Golden State really did a good job in the third. I mean, they're known for coming out in the third and being very aggressive. And I think that for us, the key was Jaylen Brown, start of the fourth quarter. With the way that he came out and played, with his energy and scoring, but also then Rob Williams gets a lob dunk. And I just think that that was the start for us of something there. And it started with that fourth quarter group. It started the fourth quarter, gave us kind of that boost, that confidence, and we just continue to, you know, plug away.
This is going to be such a casual fan comment, and this is to all the casual fans, because for the last several years, I've been out there saying, why are you talking about breaking up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? These are two superstars. Jaylen Brown had the best game of his young NBA career last night. Now, you'll look at the stat line and you'll say, well, Jay, he only had 24 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. But in the fourth quarter, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, this is why you have Brown on this team. There is a little bit of a different mentality that he has. He scored or assisted on 20 of the Celtics' first 23 points of the fourth quarter. And he allowed the other ancillary players and Al Horford and Derek White to step up in those big moments. But they will never be in those moments if Jaylen Brown doesn't go on that burst. And he is a difference maker in this game, in a game in which Jason Tatum was not his usual offensive self. And I give him a lot of credit for the assists that he brought to the table. Still an impact. The impact of Jaylen Brown in the fourth quarter was the main culprit in which why the Golden State Warriors had that epic collapse. It never happens without Brown, Key. He's the difference in this ballgame.
When I look at you, we talked about having to have the role player step up if, in fact, things become too big for what you would deem their superstars. Now, you say Jaylen Brown's a superstar. I guess in this particular series for me, I look at Marcus Smart. I look at Tatum as the frontline guys, especially Smart on the defensive end going up against Curry. But you mentioned Jaylen Brown and the effect that he had in the fourth quarter. Anytime you have somebody stepping up and taking up the slack that somebody else can't do on a team, you always are going to be effective in winning a game. Now, when I closed my eyes, it looked different. I thought, much like Max, oh, well, you know, Golden State will probably win by 8. When I opened them back up, Golden State was down and the clock was ticking away. And so I don't know what transpired between me closing my eyes and me opening them back up, but clearly Jaylen Brown has some effect there.
Look at it this way. Stephen Curry is the face of the Golden State Warriors. That will be Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. Draymond Green is the engine that makes the car go. It can go fast, it can go slow. Last night went a little bit slow. He didn't play as well, right, towards the stretch. That is Marcus Smart for the Boston Celtics. The engine, right? Defensive guy, made threes, made some shots. Jaylen Brown is similar to Klay Thompson in that they can be momentum-like scores. And Jaylen Brown, a two-way, like almost in a way, like they mirror each other, right?
Yeah.
Before Klay got hurt, Klay was that guy who was defensive stopper. Go lock him down. Yeah. Go give me 25-plus points. Like, that is who Jaylen Brown is. He's a younger version of Klay Thompson to a degree. Not saying he's a shooter like Klay Thompson.
But he's the second-best player on the team.
Yes. Yeah. It was proven last night that your second-best player steps up when you need him to the most.
So Jaylen Brown, I'm going to hold off getting into Steph because I just don't have the energy to do
Not
it with
yet.
You two right now. But you just
yet.
Mentioned, just keep in mind this. You just said Jaylen Brown, when they needed it in the fourth quarter. You can look at the box score, but that doesn't tell the whole story because in crunch time, he stepped up. I agree. Fourth quarter in the finals, very important.
By the way, though, Max, the Celtics have not been great throughout the regular season in clutch moments.
No, but in the playoffs, they've been good in the fourth quarter.
In the fourth, yeah. But not throughout the regular season.
Yeah, right. So when the superstar is not scoring, right? If he's struggling, when Batman isn't doing his thing, can Robin step up and get you there? When you say don't break up Tatum and Brown all these years, it's for moments like this, right? Tatum, who's not scoring, is helping in other ways. He's dishing, he's playing defense, he's doing a lot of good things, but he's not scoring. Part of that is the defense they're playing on him. They were slacking off of, like, Horford. And we can get into, by the way, White was great. We get into a lot of that in a little bit. But when Batman is having problems, where's Robin? And Jaylen Brown is Robin on this team, right? He's the second best player on the team. He stepped up.
Well, look, the thing you love about even the rotations, the fact that Boston made 8 catch-and-shoot three-pointers last night in the fourth. 8. So being able to open up the lanes for those driving opportunities. And look, they also, man, they had 33 assists. So the ball was moving so fast. And I give this team so much credit. Because, look, that game one should have been Golden State's game easily. But the resolve of Jaylen Brown, we will talk about White. You will talk about the impact of Horford. And I get it. Al Horford and Derek White, they combined for 47 points, only 2 points shy of Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. A huge factor in the ball game. But Jaylen Brown is the factor that sparked that incredible run, that 40-16 fourth quarter run. And in the last 5 minutes, when he got them there, that's when they went on a 17-5 run where it pushed it open. Key, that's why when you woke up, you're like, damn, what?
You mean the feel of the game, at the moment they needed it, Brown got big. He played big. By the way, White, I know we keep saying we'll get into him. To me, the difference with him, a lot of that was contested. A lot of those were difficult shots compared to Horford where Dre was giving him space. White was unbelievable, and he's had a couple games like that throughout these playoffs. It was huge, but Jaylen Brown to you is the player of the game, Jay, right?
Yeah, look, I mean, I dozed off for a good, like, 2 minutes, right, in the fourth, and I was like, oh, my God, what happened? And all of a sudden you go back, and you're like, oh, wait. Like, it happens so fast, and that's the difference between having the Celtics and the way they play. That's why people think they're poised to beat Golden State.
Yes, big moments in the fourth quarter in the finals.
Keyshawn Johnson, do you have anything to say?
No, I was letting Max do his deal so we can move on.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. So, Steph lit it up in the first quarter. Oh, I was getting texts from people. Oh, what happened, Steph? And I thought Steph. Okay, let's wait. Let's wait until it matters most. What happened in the fourth quarter? No, that's a tease, Jay. That's a tease. I'm just baiting you. I just put the bait on the hook, and I threw it. In this show, the fish jump right in the boat.
What time did you wake up this morning?
4. I pushed it to 4.
You really
4
woke up. You really woke up at 2. You couldn't wait to get in here.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
LeBron James is the first, they say first active NBA player. Maybe there's someone in soccer. Let's talk about the major American sports, because there's never been a baseball or a football player who's been a billionaire while they're an active athlete. LeBron James, according to Forbes, is still an active player, still a great player, and a billionaire?
Yeah.
Still going. Ain't going to get another contract.
Yeah. Ain't going to get another contract.
Well, you know, here's what I love about Aki more than anything is I remember coming into the league. It was like you weren't supposed to have the people that you grew up around you. They weren't allowed to activate you and your brand. It was seen as like, and even Phil Jackson, comment just sticks with me. I can't help
posse.
It. The posse thing, right? So, like, I've interviewed the posse. Okay, Rich Paul is the most powerful agent in basketball. You can make a case maybe in all of sports right now. Like, he's accumulating a hell of a roster, even on the football side. What Maverick Carter is doing with Spring Hill Entertainment, with their equity that they have in Liverpool professional sports teams across the world, with their investment portfolio with guys like Warren Buffett and the way they move in these circles, it's literally the most impressive portfolio that I've ever seen an athlete have. Now, I don't have insight to everything that MJ has done, because obviously MJ and Brand Jordan. But damn, like, talk about activating the quote-unquote Phil Jackson posse. I'll take that posse any day of the week.
Well, I think the best part about all of that, though, Jay, is, much like you said, when you first come into the league, you're not encouraged. it's not that they stop you from doing, but you're not encouraged to bring people along with you that would be deemed – as not having the professional experience to help you get to a level in which people think others can.
Also not looking or sounding like people they're used to.
And it doesn't work mm-hmm. like that. But what LeBron James was able to do, like many athletes do now in this day and era, is empower people that they grew up with and around and elevate them and trust them. It's all about the trust factor. I'd rather trust people that I grew up with and I know before people, strangers in the streets,
you know,
anyway.
How many hours per day did you train? When
I was playing?
Yeah.
Three, probably.
Okay, so, Max, you know what's so funny? People always say back in the day for me, well, your priorities seem like they're on other things other than basketball. I'm like, yo, I'm giving 5 hours to basketball a day.
Yeah.
Five,
okay,
six hours
exercise.
A
the
day.
Body can only take so much.
I sleep for another eight. Okay, like, so there are other hours I can allocate to doing the, other
what
things.
I love about
– that's what I'm saying.
What I love about that's what LeBron did, guys, is he gave people opportunities. People who took advantage of them, they're still with him.
There you go.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, I want to be very clear about something.
That James is on the board today? Yeah, James, I hear you on the board.
Unmistakable.
I am still taking the Warriors in six games. They just dropped game one at home. I'm taking them in six games. I'm still picking Steph to win finals MVP. I believe he will be great.
Uh-oh, going down this rabbit hole.
Here is the bottom line, because I saw it in 2015 where they were very lucky that the Cavs got
very
hurt.
Lucky. 16, the Draymond
16,
got
they lost.
Out
Draymond.
If you got
oh, no, wait. Yeah. 16, they didn't score a single point in the last 4.5 minutes of
Draymond
game 7
was baited
at home.
In the,
yeah, at home, 4.5 minutes. But that's the point I want to focus on. You cannot bit the shed at home in the finals in the fourth quarter. Can't happen. However, it seems to happen to this Steph Curry dynasty out of proportion. Now,
oh my.
He was lighting it up in the first quarter, lighting it up. Listen to what Steph had to say at the post-game presser about the tone he tried to set.
Just playing aggressive, knowing, you know, playing the way I know how to play. I think I found a lot of space, obviously, in the first quarter, and just trying to ride that wave as long as I could. You know, they're obviously a good defensive team, but we created enough good looks offensively, you know, to win the game tonight. Just couldn't get enough stops and, you know, let lead melted away in the fourth. So it's there's a lot of bright spots to how we play. Got to get over the tough feeling of letting one slip away.
Jay, I'm not saying he won't do it. I believe he will. I believe he'll do it, but I count, like, these things matter to me.
What are you saying there, Max?
I'm saying Steph did not come through in the fourth quarter, and as a result, like, when your superstar can't get it done, guess what? Sometimes you blow fourth-quarter leads at home.
So what did he do?
In the finals.
So what did he do in the fourth quarter that makes you think he couldn't get it done?
His legs looked tired to me.
Well, the whole team looked tired.
Yeah.
Just because you have an extended period off, Jay, as you know, doesn't mean you're going to be fresh.
Look at the open field
People
goals.
Think that automatically because you have time off. You're going to be, oh, he's going to be fresh. Sometimes time off is a real problem for people.
Sure, sure.
Open field goals rest of the game. I would force us and push us to define open. And here's why I will say two things very quickly. Number one, in the first quarter, it was a series of miscommunication by the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, Steph was
on
open.
A lot of rub screens. Marcus Smart, guys were caught.
Drop coverage.
Steph was wide open.
Al Horford, like, Al, why are you in drop coverage? Ime Udoka made those changes and those adjustments going into the second. That's why you didn't see him as prolific in the second. Number two, Key, you were talking about this, and I think it's something that a lot of people can feel. Have you ever had those days like where you're going 7-8 days and you're grinding, like your body is in that rhythm of going.
Absolutely.
And you don't realize how tired you are because you're too busy going, right? You're operating at an elite level. And then all of a sudden you take three, four days off and you're like, damn, it takes a minute to get your body back up the way. Because at the end of the first quarter, I saw multiple Golden State players with their hands on their knees.
I think that's
like
real.
Getting that wind out, whereas Boston coming off
you take
a little bit
you take a 20-minute nap, you feel great. Sometimes take a 40-minute nap, you're groggy,
well,
right?
Well, in sports, though, what happens is when you are off, you are not doing the same things
routine
that you would be doing if you were on. Mm-hmm. The Boston Celtics just played what?
I think it was game Sunday, right? They had 3 days off. They had game seven on Sunday.
So they had three.
They lucked up with the way it's scheduled. Boston really needed that little rest.
But they didn't really get a significant amount of rest. They still, their body.
Yeah, not stale.
Their body is warm. Yeah. Their blood is flowing.
I totally agree with that.
Where if you're Golden State, what you're doing is you're resting your legs. You're in meetings. You're in walkthroughs. You're doing shoot around. You're not going 5-on-5 up and down the court for four quarters.
Key, do you think, because like this morning I woke up, and obviously we can talk about the nuances of basketball, but like I think for people that don't understand it as much, right, I think the simple question is, do you think Golden State gave it away or do you think Boston stole it?
I think they opened up the door for them to steal it, if that is correct.
That's usually how it works.
If that's a correct answer.
Yeah.
They opened the door. Boston saw the opportunity and took it. And that's when you are missing shots or you're a little fatigued, you're a little tired, and you still feel like, oh, well, we're cool in the third quarter. We'll be okay. And then all of a sudden you look up. You're up by 12. Now you're down by 12. And you're like, blank.
Guys, I hear what you're saying. Wait a minute. I get these are explanations,
so
right?
Is it coming back to Steph?
Of course, because it's his team. Jay Will is sitting here, one of the greatest college players who ever lived,
here. It's also Jason Tatum's team.
No question, and Tatum helped his team to win with his defense, which Steph is just not capable because he's not as big, right, in terms of the defense.
Jason Tatum's defense was okay, but it wasn't.
It was pretty good, Jay.
On who, Max?
Throughout the game, it was pretty good. Whatever he was asked to do, he did it pretty well.
I hear you, but I'm not walking away saying I'm highlighting Jason Tatum's defense as a main factor.
But I mean, no. I'm saying he's 6'8". He's longer. He's capable of contributing on that end differently than Steph, who I credit. Steph plays defense.
But again, Max, you still had to answer my question about the fourth quarter. What is it that he did that was so egregious in the fourth quarter?
It's not that it's egregious. Guys, wait, let's step back for a second. You can explain all you want. And
okay,
they're legitimate.
I probably shouldn't use egregious, but
No, egregious is fine. It's cause and effect, right? Cause and effect exists. You want to talk about the cause and the effect on Steph? Fine, that's fine. But at a certain point when you step back, and the reason I go all the way back to 15 is because I saw what happened. And in 16, I saw what happened. And then KD got there, of course. They can't lose, right? Now I'm saying, here we go again. It's a more evenly matched series. And I still believe Steph's going to win. I think Steph's going to play great. I think the Warriors are going to win. But here we are, one game in, and there was great production on open looks in the first quarter. He was setting records. But when it got time to the time in the game where you credit Jaylen Brown because that's the momentum, that's the fourth quarter, that's crunch time, Steph won very good.
But different looks for Jaylen Brown than they were for Steph. In the second half, the first half of sets, like Jay said, they made adjustments after the first quarter to stop doing whatever they were doing to allow those particular looks. When you get to the second half of the game and you get into the fourth quarter, whatever they did in the second quarter, they did it again in the fourth where he did not get those same looks.
So, Key, just to add to that point, right? So they gave adjustments for Jason Tatum. Like he was 1 of 7 against Andrew Wiggins, right, when he was the primary defender. If Jaylen Brown doesn't get going, it doesn't open up opportunities for Jason Tatum, right? So
no doubt.
It's the same thing with Steph to a degree. So when Steph gets going and these adjustments are made, you need a guy like
Clay,
or even another one, Jordan Poole, who plus minus had the worst out of anybody on the court for both teams.
Not a defender.
Right? Yeah. Minus 19.
Yeah.
So you need other guys to give you some breathing room to open up some gaps for you to do other things.
Robin has to step up, no doubt. I'm saying, eventually, Batman's got to take over a final series, right? Eventually, Batman's got to deliver you a finals. I think he'll do it this time, but I got to see it, and I'm seeing. Did he do it? Yes or no? I see no so far in game one.
Check your phone.
The Warriors need to get into the zone in game two. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. The two-on-two challenge is done, and you'll see in a second why I feel so confident talking about the greatest shooter of all time with my impeccable form. We've got all the highlights from the 2-on-2 game and the lowlights next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
All right. We told you at 6:30 and 7:30 on ESPN2, you'll be able to watch everything from our 2-on-2 game yesterday
our
with
two
Barton
on
Hahn.
Sorry,
Wednesday with Barton Hahn, 2-on-2 game.
That's
our
right now.
2-on-2 game.
Our 2-on-2 game. Yes.
Max promoted at 6:30. That's right now.
Yes, Evan, let me host the show. Everything's okay. And as promised, here we are at 6:30, and you're going to be able to see the game if you flip to ESPN2. You'll also be able to hear the game right here on ESPN Radio. And so, without further ado, the 2-on-2
champions.
All right. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. So are we going to play this thing or what?
Welcome to Pier 17 at ESPN Seaport Studios for the first ever two-on-two challenge between Barton Hahn and KJM. Let's go.
What's your mindset going into this matchup?
I'm going to stay out of the way. I'm going to let Bart do all the work.
What do you see your role as today?
Using him. What do you think? That's what a smart coach and a player is all about.
Alan Hahn was minding his business, doing his fine radio program one day when his partner, Bart Scott, started talking.
It's like, only people I think could get us some work, maybe, is Jalen and Jacoby. Jay Will and Keyshawn, you know what I'm saying? Ooh. We just said, sweep the leg on Jay Weezy. Keyshawn going to run out of breath.
The fact that you even put my name in your mouth, it's time to really put up or shut up.
So here we are, 2-on-2, Keyshawn and Jay against Alan and Bart. And I am now going to hit a free throw to give my guys the ball.
You ready? With the ball, a little deflated. Right. Max sending it back to Freddie Coleman to get checked.
Close. Keep your eyes open.
Not quite sure there's something wrong with the ball, Carl. I think it's just Max Kellerman sucks at shooting free throws.
Well, here he is, approaching the line to do just that. Unorthodox delivery and well short. Unsurprising in the result.
So now, Bart and Allen have a distinct advantage in the two-on-two challenge as they will start with the first possession.
Here we go. Let's go.
Key will go hands up right away.
High pick and roll. Seem to be setting it up. Alan Hahn getting to his spot.
Going right at Jay Williams to Scott on the low block. Trying to spin move. Kicks it out. The jumper rolls around and out.
Jay Will from the corner. Buckets. That's 2 points. Bart Scott setting the high pick and roll. Oh, Bart Scott slips the pick. Easy layup for Barton Hahn.
And a turnover from Bart Scott, who is looking for the foul call. Won't get it.
Jay Will with the hezzy and the pump fake. Oh, easy finish at the rim.
Wow.
You're banging inside.
It just makes it look too easy, Carlos.
You're knocking his hand off. 4-1. Both ways. Good.
There's Jay Will off the Keyshawn screen. He'll pop the long two, and he buries it.
Too much respect from Alan Hahn.
9-3.
Feels like the fat lady's warming up, Carlin. Jay Williams. Will playing with his food.
Goes in his game. That's
buries
game.
It. Ball game.
And that'll do it.
CC, I have nothing else to say. My teammate, we got challenged. I have all the respect in the world for my opponents. I'm just happy that we recognize what champions look like here.
Why did all this take place today? Well, it's shameless radio promotion, but it's wrapped up in charity. And the losing team makes a $5,000 donation to Make-A-Wish, and to the winning team, a $10,000 check to the V Foundation. KJM, there it is.
The winners today, the V Foundation, $10,000 from Keyshawn and Jay Will's victory. The Make-A-Wish Foundation gets $5,000 from Barton Hahn. We didn't ruin the game today, and I think that's really the biggest takeaway of all. For Chris, I'm Chris. Thanks for joining us at South Street Seaport.
Why am I out of breath just watching that?
Guys, we did it. That's the main thing. We did it.
By the way, the best part about us watching that all together is Key was like, yo, where's my bucket at?
Yeah, he had a bucket. Where
y'all
was
gonna
it?
Give me a bucket in the highlight?
Pat must have had something Pat to do again. With the editing. Pat
Key, you know what? Again. You know what I don't like? See, we're a team on this show, and they're trying to just highlight Jay's contributions. Key make
Jay,
I, Jay everyone
didn't
make
even
contributions.
Pass the damn ball.
I did pass. Every time I passed it to you, you passed it right back.
Yes. Did you not see the beginning of the interview?
there's your
there
bucket.
There it is.
Look at that walk.
The walk is like, Jay, check the damn ball.
It's
up
the
and
one
let's
arm
go.
Swinging.
Oh, man.
And Max, why did you shoot a free throw like Bill Cartwright?
I know. It looked like Bill. No, the worst part about it was not the Bill Cartwright part.
You,
I know.
You
I held it.
Hold the ball at the top of your extension for 10 minutes before you shoot it.
No, in fact, it should go slow, fast. Yes. You know? Yeah, but The worst part wasn't that. It was what were my arms doing afterwards? No, like spazzing or something. Yeah, and I was also everything about it looked bad. I mean, it's the first free throw I took in 20 years.
The way my daughter shoots free throws.
Yeah, I looked like. Well, Jay, I like to go to my daughter's skill development program and look at the kids who haven't played yet to get the most innocent shot possible.
The best though is that you came out with the same outfit that you hosted this.
I had no time.
What are you talking about? You had an hour and a half.
They didn't have any. I thought they were going to have a tank top or something for me.
Shorts.
They
didn't. On the couch for an hour before
they didn't
the game
have
even
a
started.
Change of clothes for me. I came to work in that.
looking like inherited the team from your
oh
late
my
dad.
God. Everything about this is awesome. Look at that pure shot. No wonder I feel so comfortable criticizing Steph Curry.
This is how you know that you don't play any sport.
Yeah.
Because typically when you shoot a bat, you untuck the shirt, man.
Yeah.
Untuck the shirt.
No.
You tuck the shirt tucked in.
This is what you're
with
missing.
The tie buttoned all the way up.
You're missing it. If I'm going to look like that shooting a free throw, I might as well have jeans, tucked in shirt, do it with my eyes closed. You see what I'm saying? Because then if it goes in, great. And if it doesn't go in, it ain't going in anyway. See what I mean?
The kid that got $2.8 billion from his parents.
Yeah.
You're one of those, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you look like.
I'm the team, okay?
I know how to run this team. I know how this sport should be played.
The GM before me brought in all the guys to win the championship, but then I take over and we win the championship.
My family started the furniture business back in the 1800s, and then it moved. My late grandpa.
Or else, I'm the 11th guy in the garage when someone else invented some computer, something or other, and now I got $5 billion.
Yeah, you bought the team, and you know nothing about the sport, and you're coming and walking around shaking hands.
That certainly is what it looks like.
I got to tell you, though, Bart looked intimidating as hell when he came out with the two ankle braces strapped up and all the knee braces. I'm like, yo, what are you preparing for? You look like Gladiator. What are we
smelling
doing?
Smelling like Bengay.
Oh.
You know how, like, you don't choose your profession chooses you? You take one look at Bart in a tank top, NFL. That was never going to be the NBA. That's the NFL.
Look at, I mean, all the, I can't. I'm so happy this whole thing is over. It does make me think, though, like, I want to be competitive in other things. Like, a part of me wants to play Key and I against other people here at ESPN Flag Football. Like, I want to start competing.
I'll kick the field goal to see who gets ball.
No.
Oh, sorry, no.
No.
Hey, by the way.
Can you kick a football?
No. You know what? Yes, absolutely. Listen, here's the main thing to me about this whole thing, right? Alan Hahn was minding his business. It's like a Honeymooners episode. Where Ralph Cram does the pool hole and Ed Norton starts talking. My friend's not scared of you to some big dude. He'll fight you anytime, anywhere. And then Ralph's got a fight. Alan Hahn was minding his business when Bart talked him into this. And listen to what he had to say. And he was dead. Bart doesn't care at all. He's on to the next thing, whatever. Alan's devastated, right? Listen to what he said about playing actual world-class athletes after the game.
I am the average Joe who's done nothing in his life with three guys who have accomplished so much. You read about that? Regular people like me that feel like, let me get in this thing. I'm in good shape. I keep myself in shape. And then you play and you realize, like, nah, there's a different level to this thing. Like weekend warrior versus guys who actually did things is a much different level.
The other thing is Allen's 6'6", so it makes it harder for him.
That doesn't mean anything.
No, I'm saying it's harder on his ego because he's tall.
All three of us were out of shape to different degrees. Now imagine if we decided that we're going to take two and a half, three months and we're getting ready to get into shape.
Real shape.
Real shape. Like, we're getting ready to get into shape. Now try and take that on. And I think that is what Allen experienced 2 days ago when he played against us. He didn't really, you know, it was just like, oh, they're old. They can't move around. They won't be able to lean on certain things. Jay hadn't shot a ball in a long time. It's just a different situation. That's all.
You think there's any sport where an average guy, like, does anyone out there think that there's a sport where you could beat a world, like, could you throw a couple of strikes in bowling and beat the best bowler? You know what I mean? Is there anything that your average person can beat a world-class athlete at?
No, a world-class bowler, champion bowler can beat you with his left hand.
I totally agree with
that. So, Max, this happened
different. There's so many levels different.
It's different.
I was asking people this all day yesterday. I love golf. I'm a 15 handicap. I will admit that. If I played against a PGA golfer in match play for 18 holes, would I have a shot to win one hole?
If there was something on the line for the PGA golfer to lose,
yeah,
no.
No chance, right?
Yeah, guess what's on the line? I'm losing to a dude that sits in a studio all day.
But see, this is why. So I want to say this is like 7-8 years ago. I had to play a comedian, a guy who's my boy, Andrew Schultz, right? And the game got picked up by everybody because The game was 2-11, and I spotted him 10 points, right? So the game went on for like 30 minutes because it was unlimited dribbles. He was dribbling the ball around for 20 minutes, holding it, dribbling around like, damn, right? But he scored one bucket after I scored 10, and I tried to hot dog, throw it off his head. And when it went out to the world had no idea we played 35 minutes. The world had no idea that he was spotted 10-0. They just showed him make one bucket where the ball hit every damn side of the rim. And it, for me, I'm like, this is what now I get it. Now I'm never going to let that ever happen again.
So you lost.
I lost, 11-10.
Well, think about Nate Robinson. Think about Nate.
It is, but that's what happens,
think about when he boxed Jake Paul, right? Now, Nate Robinson is tough. He's an Nate Robinson's an athlete, like, from another, but crazy athletic, right? Jake Paul is not a world-class fighter. He's a novice professional fighter.
He's a fighter.
But he's big as hell, though, man.
No, but the main thing is not that.
But he's
been fighting. He's been training
with
professional trainers for a couple years.
So essentially, he's a fighter.
So he got iced in one shot, fight over. You can't go in with a – now imagine a world-class fighter. You can't do it.
That's just like the fight that you covered. What was it? The UFC guy who fought –
McGregor?
McGregor fought
and Floyd.
Floyd, but, didn't fight him in the octagon. You fought him in the ring. You're going to lose.
And that, by the way, McGregor did so much better than he should have done against Floyd.
Yeah, but he
Floyd.
Was never
that
gonna,
was an amazing performance by him. And you know, he had
but
no
he
chance
was never.
To win.
And I'm not even a boxing guy. Yeah. He was never going to beat him in the
not.
Ring.
Of course not. Floyd had a little gut, went in the ring. You know, just walking down him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just how it is. It's like, oh, I could. You know, when you hear guys at games, you sit there, baseball game, and I'm sitting there. Oh, how could he miss that strike? You know, you want to say, man, why don't you go out there and try to swing at that and
tell
see
you,
how
man,
that works.
People be just saying stuff randomly until they get called out. Like, all right, so go through the first pitch. Well, there's so many people there. And you're like,
so many people.
There's a lot of people watching
but
you
throw. I think those are two different things. One, athletes are like, what do you mean he's no good? Because but fans already understand. Everyone in the NBA is the best athlete in the world, right?
No,
we get that already. We're comparing you to each other.
No, they don't.
Well, they ought to.
So they don't get two things. They don't get that, Max, and they don't get the pressure that you feel when there are millions of eyeballs watching you do something.
Yeah.
When you're doing it at home, you're playing a professional athlete at home, nobody's watching, like, oh, that was fun. But when people are watching and you start getting criticized on social media, that adds a different element.
Why do you think we get so upset when we hear the word bust?
Right.
Because it's like, are you out of
you
here?
You got there.
You're a bust.
You got to the mountaintop.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, are you? I don't give a damn if he ever play a game.
But
not a bust.
The other thing is, it's not just that it's a different level. People say, well, that's a different level. There are so many levels. What you guys don't see, if I see a dude who played Division III college ball, he rode the bench, when he's by himself practicing on a court, just taking – he looks good to me.
Oh, no,
he
Max.
He rode the bench in Division III, and he looks official.
Oh, no, Max, we see it. That's why we get angry when we hear bust. Because we know, like, there are so many levels to it. And when people say, oh, you never panned out, I'm like, yo, he played D1 basketball. What are you talking about he never panned out? Or when somebody gets drafted, Kyrie was talking about this the other day on the mixtape, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing that came out that ESPN produced.
Yeah.
About the mixtape. Where Kyrie's, there's only 5,000 people that have ever played basketball in the NBA.
And if you are under 6'6 and you got to the NBA, that's why, like, you're one of the best athletes who ever lived. If you're under 6'6 and you made it to the NBA, it's almost impossible. There's 7.5 billion people in the world. All of them are trying to play in the NBA.
Yeah, that's why when people always say stuff about other athletes and he's not good or he's not, I'm like, come on, man.
Oh, he's sorry.
Come on now.
But what I'm telling you, just as the average Joe, right? What I'm telling you as world-class athletes is, whether or not fans understand it, you're now at the highest level, the highest league. You will be compared to one another. So a dude like, I used to think like when Steve Blake was on the Lakers, right?
Yeah,
Steve Blake's no good. And I used to have to stop myself. Okay, understand everybody.
You just thought Steve you looked Blake's like Steve Blake. That was the problem.
Right. Steve Blake's like six. You think he's that handsome? You think Steve Blake's really, really, really handsome?
Doesn't he got a Steve Blake look to him?
You do have a Steve Blake kind of look to you.
Oh, he must be a very handsome guy. But my point is, he's a six feet and a couple inches, whatever he is, and he's playing in the NBA. So I'd have to stop myself
Steve
and say, hold on, wait a minute.
6'3" and a half, dog.
6'3" and a half. Okay, but he ain't 6'6". This dude,
a shooter.
Well, Max, Steve Blake has a 6'5" wingspan. I played against him in college. I know
My point is, if you want to take the average size of an NBA player, he is under average.
Yes.
And yet he's playing in the NBA at a nice level. So I would always qualify and say, wait, understand, Lakers fans, when we say Steve Blake, we're saying compared to the greatest athlete who ever lived.
They don't provide context like that. They say, oh, he's sorry.
No, he was good. First of all, he's great.
Cool.
But
Steve
even
Blake
by
really
NBA standards, he was a good player. This is toward the end of his career. But even by NBA standards, you know, he was a nice player. At a certain point, what I'm trying to explain to you guys is fans are not comparing you to the G League. They're comparing you to each other.
So J.J. Redick said this yesterday on First Take, and I was dying laughing because he quoted Brian Scalabrine talking to random fans that were calling him, oh, you a bust. He's like, trust and believe, I am way closer to LeBron James than you will ever be.
100%.
In talent.
Scalabrine will bust your... What?
That's right. Like, so the 15th guy on the roster is exponentially closer LeBron James than any guy off the street ever would be. Think about that for a second.
What was it? The Red Mamba? What did he call himself? What was Scal's nickname? No, I'm forgetting.
I don't remember.
But matter of fact, I think there were some college players, some streetball players.
He played all these dudes. He did up in Boston.
Yeah, talking stuff to Scal, and he's like, okay, let's do it. And you're not going to score a point.
I had a guy one time tell me something about he had to Google me. I was out, and he was heckling me. The guy tells me he had to Google me to find out about my statistics and who I was and all the different stuff because I wasn't nothing in the league and stuff. I said, well, at least you can find me on Google. At least you can find me because I can't find you.
You can throw a handful of sand at Key. He'll catch every grain. Like, you don't understand what it is to perform at that level. Keyshawn, J. Will,
and Max. I love stuff.
Presented
like
by Progressive Insurance. Dennis in Delaware has something to say about the game, guys. What's up, Dennis?
What's up, Dennis?
What up, D?
Hey, guys, I got a little controversy for you because I watched the game and clearly, Jay Will, you didn't take the ball back on your one assist and Keyshawn's only basket.
Oh, no.
You got the rebound. You ran to the corner. You know you need to go behind that three-point line,
Dennis,
before you advance.
Dennis,
you never did.
Real hoop talks, Dennis. Real hoop talk, Dennis. Only 1 foot has to be outside the three-point line.
Yep, and the other one was in the air.
Yes. One foot. I got the right foot right there. Check the tape,
it's on the line.
It's on the line. Whatever you want.
No, check the tape. Check
the
tape.
By the way, I played at Duke. It's not my job to make the calls.
There it is.
I'm used to look.
You should take that up. You should take that up with the ref with the fedora on.
Freddie wasn't giving him anything.
Talk to Freddie Foster over there.
Freddie was tired.
Freddie
just walking around with the whistle. He wasn't even running. He was walking around.
Freddie was the best smelling referee I've seen in the history of referee. Freddie had the cool water cologne on. I'm like, what? Where are we going to the club? Where are we going? Are you working? Or are you going to the club?
Jazz club. Yeah.
Jazz Freddie ref.
Bart,
that's messed up. When Bart threw Key down on the, and then Key got called for the legal screen.
Yeah, yeah. Bart.
What kind of?
Me.
Whew. Key, that 19 looked different though. That 19 looked different on you
today. We got on white, and that white ain't helping you.
You on the
white looks like
a
and a small jersey.
When you see him on draft day.
White got me looking like I'm about 350.
Jay, when you see Key on draft day, he's all lean, faded cheekbones,
the
showing and everything.
Yeah, out there licking the lips a lot. Man, that 19 looked clean. I'm like, that 19 looked different now.
A little bit different now.
By the way, at 7:30, we just showed at 6:30, we showed you on ESPN2.
Right. Get back right.
And here on ESPN
cool
Radio, everything
Cologne,
from Freddie. The 2-on-2 game on Wednesday, Key and Jay versus Bart and Han. You'll be able to also see my perfect free throw shooting form.
God.
You'll be able to see it again at 7:30 on
ESPN2. That's why you need to stop with all this Steph hate. You can't criticize the greatest shooter in the game when you can't even hold the ball correctly for a free throw.
You would think.
You can't. It's not allowed.
You would think that I'd be shamed into not doing it.
You should be shamed.
I'll double down, in fact.
I just honestly wish that more people like you, Max, would take sports really serious.
Mm.
Instead of criticizing guys like Steph Curry, practice your craft.
And
really realize how hard it is.
I'll explain this right now. Once upon a time, the media only glorified athletes, right? They only glorified athletes.
Well, you could make
at
a case
that
now,
now
we're in an era where they only criticize athletes.
Well, that's actually legitimate because if you're someone like LeBron, you're like 99% of what I do, no one's perfect, right? It's positive. I'm making
it's
the world
incredible.
A better place. And then, everyone's in. Right. Because what we do in our culture, we build up idols and then we like to break them down and see if they can rise up from the ashes, right? But with Steph, it's not you think I'm looking to criticize. The bottom line is I'm just noticing something. Marcellus Wiley used to talk about it on Sports Nation on Max and Marcellus on ESPN Radio, too. And I used to defend Steph. And Clayton Kershaw, too, I would defend them. Hey, it's a small sample size. But as time goes on.
A lot of barbershop talk with that.
As time goes on and you see more and more the same thing in certain situations, you're not doing your job if you don't say it.
It doesn't mean that the guy is not great.
I didn't say that.
It doesn't mean any of that just because he has a bad game here or there.
See, I'm saying I'm not taking Magic or Larry Bird out of the top 10 for him. That's what I'm saying.
But see, Max, what I will say is that you got to win that game. That's an epic collapse last night. I don't think it just all falls on the shoulder of Steph. Steve Kerr tried to call a couple timeouts. When you're up by double digits like that, you have to win that
game.
Jason
Tatum struggled, and you pointed out, like, basically Robin having to save Batman sometimes. But is Tatum's struggle a concern, or does that give you confidence for the Celtics? That's next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.